Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for a new way to talk. Here's Medal of Honor recipient, David
Bellavia.
No. That's not it.
David Bellavia.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Staff Sergeant David Bellavia.
Really? That's how you're going to pronounce it?
David Bellavia.
Ah, come on.
David Bellavia.
It's David Bellavia on WBEN.
Good morning. Welcome to the David Bellavia Show here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Today, talking Bills contract extension, giving advice to you, also taking your advice, and Amazon on Grand Island, all that and more in the first hour, joined by Sal Capaccio from WGR. And now, here's David.
I appreciate it, Joe Beamer, Tony Caligiuri. We've got a lot going on today. We want been meaning to get our friend Sal Capaccio on to talk about all the things that are happening in Buffalo baseball. Of course, the changing of the jerseys and now the Sean McDermott extension. Big news for Buffalo sports fans. We also are going to talk a lot about Amazon and Grand Island. And we've asked for people that need advice. We'll answer, we'll give advice, and we'll take your calls to also give strangers advice. Who doesn't love giving advice? People love giving advice. It's wildly popular. But first, we want to bring in our friend Sal Capaccio. We gave him this theme song. There he is, Sal Capaccio, at Sal Sports on Twitter. He's at WGR. He's beloved. Sal, thanks so much for coming on and doing the program.
Oh, anything for you. Listen, before I do anything here, talk to you about anything, I just want to say congratulations. I know I shot you a text when, it was announced that you'd be, taking over this time slot full time. And I just got to tell you, I think, the people of Buffalo, people of Western New York, really internationally, nationally, because they can just go to radio.com and listen, of course, at any time, Alexa, however you want, are just better for having you as a part of their daily life on radio. And I'm proud to call you a friend, man. I'm really, it's amazing. I brag about that I know you to people. And, the introduction you gave me is great, but really, you're an American hero, and you're also a great friend, and I'm really happy for you.
Well, that's a beautiful thing for you to say. I really appreciate that, and I consider you to be a really beautiful person, a wonderful father, and we're glad to have you in Buffalo. This is the guy who broke the Terrell Owens trade story, and I think Sal Capaccio's story is all about working hard, never giving up on your dreams, and it's a Buffalo story, and I want to talk to you about Buffalo sports. But first, before we get into the things there, we talked yesterday about this phenomenon that only feels like it happens in Buffalo, but as a, you're a member of the media here in Buffalo, when a sports athlete goes to another town in a trade or as a free agent, and then the first thing they say is, by the way, they've been mispronouncing my name for 7 years. Isn't that a slight on everyone here in Western New York? It happened with Hendrick Tillander, Andrew Sequeira, and Tyrod Taylor. They all went to different cities and said, it's Tillander, it's Sekera, and it's Tyrod. What do you make of that?
But I think that, I don't know. I think you might be reading a little too much into it, because it might happen here and the other way too, and I'm not sure. I got to think of if anybody has come here and we've like, oh, we've been pronouncing his name, they were pronouncing his name wrong in the other city. I think what happens is you just kind of get into a habit and routine, and the player doesn't change it, right? He's like, okay, like that's how someone said it when they originally got on the radio. It's like you're open. So if someone said, Bellavia, and right. you didn't correct him because you're like, I don't really care to correct him. Like, I honestly, like, I do a lot of radio appearances around the country about the Bills. And when I go on, a lot of times they pronounce my name wrong. They say Cappuccio or something like that. Hey, we're going to bring Sal Cappuccio. And I just don't care to pronounce, like, to change it because I'm like, okay, I'm not going to put
it is awkward. Like, no, and it's awkward.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm not going to make them feel like an idiot.
So, you know what, so but as a professional though, when the Bills draft someone and it's a name that, you know, people are going to have difficulty with, or the Sabres, some of these European names are difficult to pronounce. What do you do to make sure that you're getting it right?
I ask the person, how do you pronounce your name? How do you want right. your name pronounced? I mean, like, literally, like, that's it. And I remember the Tyrod Taylor thing. So, see, I still call him Tyrod, but one day we were interviewing, I think it was Lorenzo Alexander, and he kept calling him Tyrod. And people are like, that's not his name. He's like, well, yeah, it is. So I remember, like, asking Tyrod, and he's like, yeah, it's Tyrod, but he's like, it's okay, because everybody has called me Tyrod. Like, that's how they say it. So I don't think it's a slight against the people of Buffalo. I just think people just, you know what, if that's what they're going to do, I'm not going to worry about it. Andre Sequeira, Reg, right? They call him Reg. Sequeira, Sequeira, that was a weird one. Yeah, I just think, like, he just probably didn't care to make a big deal of it. And, hey, if you're going to pronounce my name wrong, I don't care. Just, you know, I'm just going out and doing my job.
There's a language barrier. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird in that regard. Hey, speaking of that, I'm kind of caught here. I actually was having this debate with my wife. How do you pronounce the first name of the new, of Joe Biden's running mate?
Most people are saying it's Kamala, but I've heard Kamala.
But
I've heard Kamala.
Kamala, like Pamela. Kamala yeah. and Kamala. I've heard both. I've heard three different pronunciations. Kamala, Kamala, and Kamala.
Exactly. Kamala is the one that appears to be, like, from her camp, CNN, MSNBC, they'll say Kamala Harris. But I have heard Kamala as well. So, again, I'm sure when someone becomes new and they're the shiny penny and everyone's talking about them for 6 months, let's put it this way. No one cares how you say Palin anymore. You know, she's right. out of the news. No one cares anymore. So I'm sure, you know, when you're there and you're established, that's how, I guess, when you know you've arrived is when you have a one name, you know, your Cher, your Madonna, you know, whatever you are.
That's MJ.
Speaking of, I want to get to all of this. But first, let's start with the Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills. You know, around town, nationally, the reason why you're doing so many interviews is you're talking about probably the Bills a lot. And mm-hmm. the Bills are popular because this team of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have really built something that is national attention now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, for 17 years, a long playoff drought, this team went, and obviously a couple of years ago it was broken. It wasn't just about not making the playoffs, Dave. It was about an organization that just couldn't find its way. It had no direction. It had no leadership. You know, and it didn't help the Pegulas that as soon as they take over, Doug Marrone opts out of his contract, basically. You know, like, they didn't intend for that to happen. So they go at Rex Ryan. He was obviously the wrong choice. You know, you had a GM coach structure where, you know, there were guys that just couldn't get along. But that had gone back for many years. If you want to go back to, you know, Dick Geron, Marv Levy, Greg Williams, whoever it was, everybody who's been in and out at the GM and the head coach spot. And, you know, it's hard to get it right, but they got it right with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. And they really are a team. And I think that's the biggest thing that's changed here in the last 3 years is Sean McDermott came in and he had a clear vision and path for this organization. And if you go back and listen to his opening press conference when he was hired, he said, I believe in building it brick by brick. And he had certain philosophies that he's going to adhere to. And he's not going to move off of those just because, you know, he's not going to speed up the timeline, so to speak. Now, granted, they won that first year, I think maybe when people didn't realize they were going to. But you know what he never did? He never said, oh, okay, we're better than we thought. They always stayed true and knew who they were, for good or bad. And I think that's a real testament to understanding your philosophies, your beliefs, adhering to them, and building it the right way. The Bills, in the big picture, are no longer a national joke. They're no longer a punchline. They're no longer a place that people make fun of and say, we're going to send you there. People want to come to Buffalo. Players want to come to Buffalo. Front office, personnel, scouts. This is a destination now that's really considered a really good spot to be in the world of football.
You know, the Bills are always, you know, a microcosm of our morale as a region. And when the Bills do well, we have a different spring to our step. There's a swagger. And I'm starting to see that now. In a day when we, you know, lose Amazon in Grand Island, there tends to be this, you know, negative self-esteem, this Western New York, you know, deficiency of self-esteem that we're cold and people make fun of us. But then the Bills do well, and now we've got Major League Baseball. I don't care what the circumstances are. This is a really big deal, and it's pretty cool. And you've been a baseball fan your whole life. What does it mean to have Major League Baseball back in Buffalo?
It's civic pride. That's what it is. You know, it's funny because when this whole thing happened, Dave, people were asking me, well, what does it matter? Fans can't go. I said, it does matter. It matters to people who grew up here like me. It matters to a lot of people who live here because you have civic pride knowing that your city and a couple of different reasons here. Okay, we have been. We've been the city that has been kicked in the punchline. It's cold, it snows, and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? Buffalo here is now in the national spotlight to be on in a major league town. Like we have football, we have hockey, now suddenly we have baseball. And guess what? Every time the Blue Jays play here, that byline across all the national reports on the internet or newspapers everywhere says Dateline Buffalo, New York. Every time you see it on SportsCenter, down at the bottom, Buffalo, New York. You know, we see pictures of our city. That's really cool. I think that's a really cool thing to be a part of. But it goes even beyond that, which is our city stepped up, man. Right? I mean, Major League Baseball needed us. The Toronto Blue Jays needed us. And we did it in a really good way, which is we kept our numbers low. I think everybody involved in the city, the county, the organization did everything they could to make sure that the players would feel safe, Major League Baseball would feel safe. We went about this the right way. It wasn't like we can't go to Buffalo because your numbers are high for COVID. It was, hey, actually, they're doing a really good job there. And then the organization said, we're going to make you feel like you are home. You know, this is called the City of Good Neighbors. If you go and look at how they transformed that stadium to inside and outside, it wasn't just like being a neighbor. It literally is like the Blue Jays being at home. It's amazing.
It really does look great. And that's the stadium was always designed to expand when it was Pilot Field. I was so bitter when the Colorado Rockies and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays got their franchises because that was really our shot. That was our shot to get Major League Baseball in Buffalo. The stadium was relatively new, and the position as you drive into the city, it's really it's now part of the skyline. And to have, you know, Major League Baseball, seeing people on the 190, it's pretty cool. It's a neat thing.
Well, and I'll say this though, you know, Dave, I've thought about this a lot over the years. I think that if we would have gotten a Major League Baseball franchise, an expansion franchise, this is not a knock on Buffalo. We are a smaller city and we don't have the money and the corporations like New York and Chicago and LA and Houston or places like that. I don't know if long term we would have been able to sustain three professional sports franchises out of the four major ones. You know, that's hard to do. There's already people are already spreading their money between Bills and Sabres, and we have multiple college teams. Look, the University of Buffalo is the only team in the entire MAC conference to be in a city with a professional team, if you think about that. Like, we have Division I football right here. We have multiple Division I basketball teams. We have an NFL team. We have an NHL team. We're a big league city, but our dollars are only stretched so thin. As much as we love our sports, I do wonder if they had gotten Major League Baseball, if we'd be sitting, you know, that would have been 20 years ago now, 19 years ago. I'm sorry, 29 years ago. Wow, crazy.
Right, that's
I wonder, I wonder if here we are almost three decades later saying, you know, we just couldn't do it and we would have lost one of the other teams simply because we couldn't sustain it financially with people and their pocketbooks being stretched.
See, that's a really good insight because you're talking about 81 home games.
Yep.
And you have to have a stadium at least at 30,000 if they expanded it or they did whatever. That's a lot to ask. And, you know, the weather's not going to cooperate. You're going to have, you know, but knowing now that there appears to be some sort of wind that's carrying balls left center at that park, that we know, is there a possibility that this is going to be a home run park? I mean, we're just seeing people blasted out of. Is that going to be the reputation of San Francisco?
Last night, I happened to turn it on to why I literally turned it on. They were hitting home runs left and right. I turn it on and I see Bo Bichette blast one to left field. And then Shaw jacks one out to right field, which is one of the farthest balls I've ever seen hit at the stadium, I think, which is amazing. I think back in the day, I could be wrong on this. I thought I remember they did a study back in the day when they built the stadium. People say, why doesn't the stadium face the other way? That way people could see downtown. And I think I saw, if I remember right, they did a study on the winds coming off Lake Erie. And the reason when they designed the stadium the way they did was specifically because of that. But that is now because, and that does have balls maybe fly out to left field a little bit. And who knows? Could be also the time of year. Maybe that changes a little bit based on weather patterns. I'm not really sure. I also will say that it's major league players, right? They're not AAA players. These guys are blasting it.
Now, the other big story come out of Western New York that everyone was talking about was the Sabres' new jersey reveal, which, you know, again, I don't know if this was – it's certainly not as shocking as some of the other, you know, complete wholesale changes. The what was it, mad cow disease, goat head version. And then you had the slug, which – was sadly one of the greatest runs that the Sabres franchise has had was the President's Trophy years, and it's remembered by a really ugly jersey. So I mean, going back to that blue, that royal blue.
This is the royal blue. This is the color I grew up on.
Exactly.
I mean, my bedroom when I was a kid was loaded with this color. That's what it was. It was posters on the wall. It was Gilbert Perreault. It was Tom Barrasso. You know what I mean? I when I saw the jersey, I'm not trying to be like. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here when I say this, but it's true. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. When I saw the jersey reveal, I immediately, in my mind, went back to a place of watching Mike Ramsey and Craig Ramsey in a colorful odd. That's what I did. It was crazy. Like, I thought about that. I'm like, this is what I grew up on. It's super cool. And I know the team hasn't been that good. I get it. Like, you know, but wow, that was so cool and nostalgic. This is where they belong, I think, in this color, what they're wearing now, these royal blue jerseys. Those were great years, you know, when you're a kid. Man, the first time I ever truly bawled over a sporting event was 1983. I'm 10 years old. They go to Game 7 against the Bruins, and Brad Park scores in overtime to eliminate
wow.
the Sabres.
Wow.
I bawled myself to sleep.
I remember like Ted Darling's voice and the fact that yes. Channel 2 played the games, you know, no one cared about a primetime lineup because at 8 o'clock, you know, the Sabres right. were on and Tucks and Pucks night and all the great, but you know, with a franchise that seems to be in disarray, and let's be honest, there's a lot of dysfunction with the Sabres. This is actually a really good opportunity to do a reboot. And to go back to the times when we fell in love with the Sabres, and it might sound silly, but a jersey can do that. A jersey is a step forward into cohesion. Let's get back to the old days. Don't give up on the franchise.
Yeah, listen, you know, the best days of this franchise, you know, are pretty far back now, right? I mean, right. We've waited a long time.
You may have just described them, by the way, when you were saying the back.
Right, right. I mean... You know, you go back to, you know, when they were good in 06 and 07 and things like that. That's a long time now. We're talking over a decade since those years, what people remember. So, yeah, it's nostalgic. I hope that they can win in these jerseys. It would be great to get back to that. We've been hoping that for a long time. They have a terrific player in Jack Eichel amongst, you know, some other talented players. But they have, you know, to me, a budding, if not already, superstar in the NHL. It was just cool to see that yesterday. I was happy to see that. It took me back to a place. You know what I remember? Do you remember open practices? When
yes.
you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We used to go to open practices all the time. And that was, see, we didn't have money growing up. You know, I didn't go to a lot of Sabres games. If I did, I sat in the odd for $5 or whatever it is at the Oranges. I mean, and for $5, however much it costs. But man, we went to that open practice every year, and you know, we got down there, and that's when we saw those guys skating out in the ice.
You know,
Royal Blues.
One of the things that I don't think people really understand is that, you know, when McGildy and LaFontaine were having their huge years, that there was only two arenas that were the old. You know, the measurements were the smaller ones. Chicago had the older one and the odd. And when Chicago went to a new arena, it was just the odd was the oldest and the smallest of the arenas. For McGillney and LaFontaine to have the speed that they had and the passing and the goals and the points in a smaller surface is really more impressive than anything else that we just kind of, I mean, under the radar, the odd was, you know, a pile of rocks. It was very steep. It was kind of, you know, it didn't look modern and it was embarrassing as far as how it appeared on TV. But the noise of the odd, when you hit someone on the boards, that was loud. Those boards moved. And we had speed for a really small ice surface.
They did. And, you know, it helped that the game was just different back then. There's a lot more scoring. Goalie pads were so small. Goalies never went down on the butterfly. You know, I mean, we're going back to the 80s here. You know, that came about a little bit later. But you're right. At that time, too, they had so much talent on the ice. Dale Hawerchuk, a part of that team, right? I mean, there was so much talent on the ice. Talking about the odd and what it was like. It had a distinct smell too, didn't it?
It did. I didn't want to.
You had that distinct. Smell. It's okay though.
You would go from the street.
Kind of like going to the county fair.
But you would go to the street level, and there was the city of the cold, and you'd walk in. Yeah. And it was like kettle corn was being made or something.
That's right.
It had this crazy thing.
The Erie County Fair has a distinct smell. The Odd had a distinct smell, right? I mean, just no matter what. And I remember walking up. If you were sitting in the Blues, like you walked up the ramps, you didn't literally go up the escalators. You walked up the ramps, right? So, yeah, this takes us back to a time like that. These were my formative years as a sports fan. And, you know, and back then, you know, the Bills weren't good. The early 80s to the mid 80s, the Bills were not good. They were pretty good in like 80, 81, but I was a little too young then. By the time we got to, you know, 83, 84, they were not that good. Then they win two games in 84, two games in 85. You know, the Sabres weren't great at that time, but they were the better team, the better franchise. And boy, I remember, this is a true story. People tell me all the time, how'd you get in radio? And I tell them this, look, obviously as I got older, I had to make decisions. But when I was younger, I would watch Sabres games and I would have an old tape recorder and I would pretend I was Ted Darling and I would go back and listen to myself and air check myself.
Ted Darling, there was something about Ed Kilgore. Yes. Was the color commentator and yes. And Ted Darling and those guys. And then Rick Jenneret, you know, usually we'd watch the games on the TV, but the radio would come on and this guy on radio is the most electrifying voice. We were so spoiled when it came to Sabres play-by-play for years, because Rick Jenneret is a legend.
Think of the legends we've had in Buffalo calling our sports games like that. If you think of Rick Jenneret, Ted Darling, and Van Miller.
And John Murphy was doing color. And John Murphy's
right? I don't want to leave out Murph, but
those guys are awesome.
At that time, those play-by-play guys, like Buffalo, you're right. Buffalo has been really, really blessed to have, you know, really great play-by-play announcers for their local teams. But at one time, you know, people forget, and the reason why we're bringing this up, people may forget because it's not like this now. There was a separate TV announcer than there was a radio announcer.
Right.
It's, you know, Rick, it's simulcast basically on WGR and on television. But back then it was Ted Darling did the TV games and Rick Jenneret did the radio games. And every once in a while there wouldn't be a game on television and Ted Darling would do the game on radio.
There was something about Van Miller, though. Again, though, you hear those voices, and it's like they bring you right back. And it's crazy because with high definition and the views, we almost demand more from our play by play guys. I mean, the criticism that John Murphy has as a play by play guy is not anything Van Miller had to deal with because most of these games were blacked out. You know, right. You didn't see him; you just heard him. And now John Murphy's got to be like, "Well, everyone's watching this 5 seconds before they hear it." You know, everyone's gonna. So it's. I think it's much more difficult to do play by play today than it was back in the day.
Yeah, I agree because of the hyper. Yeah, you're right. Of all the different ways that people can watch and have choices and give feedback and things like that, the different camera angles. You make one mistake, everybody knows within. It's just like being a referee, right? You
right,
make
exactly.
A mistake, it's amplified because of all the cameras. So,
hey, I mean, Sal,
I'm fortunate to be on the broadcast with him.
Well, we're fortunate to have you, Sal Capaccio, beloved in Western New York for a reason. He talks all sports, not just Bills. He talks Sabres. He talks anything. We'll get into Ultimate Fighting next time around. Sal Capaccio at Sal Sports on Twitter. It's the Bellavia Show. We'll be back right after this news break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the show. Big story yesterday from town supervisor of Grand Island, John Whitney, is that Amazon, they don't want to come now. They don't want to deal with Grand Island. Basically, what it comes down to is Amazon, this has happened in other towns, other cities. Amazon doesn't need or want the burden of having to fight with people that don't want them there. So they're not saying they don't want Western New York. They're saying Grand Island's not going to work. Project Olive isn't going to happen. TC Buffalo notified the town of Grand Island and said yesterday that the 3.8 million square foot site, they're withdrawing the application, known as Project Olive. How you can't really see, there's nothing ominous.
Ominous?
Thank you. There's nothing ominous about olives. You know what I mean? It's not Project Dagger, you know, Project Howitzer. It's Project Olive. I mean, it's kind of kind. I assume there's no pits in there that could crack our teeth. They're pitted olives. Martini olives are happy. I like olives. I was a fan of Project Olive on the name only. We're olive fans, Joe.
I love olives.
Every morning we eat olives.
We do. It's really true. It's one of my favorite traditions we started.
Yeah. We started an olive tradition. Tony and I are sub eaters. We're going to have subs after the show, olives before the show.
How about olives on your pizza? Green olives?
We'll take it. Yeah, olives are it. Happy.
Yeah,
but
they are.
In this case, Amazon said no. I want to play the John Whitney audio. Now, to be fair, we've asked John Whitney to come on the program, what is it, our third time, second time? He's got things to do. I understand it. He's busy. And I don't. This is not a slight on us. It's not a slight on him. Things sometimes don't happen, and I get it. I'm not making any allegation that he's running away from an interview or doesn't want to talk about it. We just have not been able to connect. But he's a gentleman. I'm sure when there's time available, he will do interviews. But everyone's harassing him right now. I get it. I'll play the audio that he gave to our newsroom. Here's what John Whitney, Grand Island supervisor, had to say about Amazon's decision to abandon Project Olive.
John, I understand that the Project Olive project for Grand Island is now off the table. What have you heard?
I received a phone call from James Murray Coleman of TC Buffalo informing me of just that about 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Any word on why TC Buffalo pulled the plug on Project Olive?
They were citing potential cost increases and maybe some various looking at different site selections.
What would have Project Olive meant to Grand Island?
Well, there were many pluses and many minuses. A lot of people were for it, a lot of people were against it. Obviously, from a tax impact, their pilot was going to generate $51 million over close to 15 years. That was the estimated revenue stream. They had committed to giving us $10 million up front in addition to the money from the pilot. So from an economic standpoint, that would be the negative of the project leaving. From a traffic standpoint, we don't have all the vehicles crossing Grand Island at this point anymore. So like I said, there's pluses and minuses.
What was your personal stance on Project Olive? Would it have been great to have Project Olive if this were confirmed to be the Amazon project here in Grand Island?
I hadn't made a decision.
Okay, that's all I need to hear. John Whitney, stop. Okay, just stop. You haven't made a decision. Get out of here. Now listen, I understand what he's trying to do. All right? And I get it. You're in a really tough spot. And this is an opportunity where you can just simply walk away and say, you know what? I don't really want to get involved. People hate it. There's people that support it. Mark Poloncarz, who is a Democrat, is saying this is good for Erie County. This is good for Niagara County. This is good for Grand Island. This is good for every county, right? Because now what does it mean when you put a distribution site there? Well, it's going to benefit the rest of Western New York. Businesses will benefit. This is good for the region. You really can't argue with all the surrounding counties that are saying, well, we're going to benefit from this too. more people hired, more people with jobs, more money. Think of the, you know, added revenue that comes in, infrastructure rebuilding because of all the all that, right? Poland Cars is on board. Nate McMurray, who's running left of Stalin in a New York 27 race, is saying, hey, you might think that I'm one of those AOC Democrats. I'm not. I'm over here. I'm telling you, I want Amazon. And I was the former supervisor of Grand Island. Nate McMurray's been on the record. Everyone, you've heard from Congressman Chris Jacobs. You've heard from the governor. You've heard from everybody in the field except for the town of Grand Island supervisor, a Republican, John Whitney, who's had a lot of things to do, and he couldn't do the interview on two occasions. I totally understand. And again, I'm not saying that he's running from an interview. But that statement to Tom Puckett is one of the most disingenuous things I've ever heard in my life. Of course you've made a decision. It's really, I would have actually respected it if he just would have said, you know, I'm not going to touch a thing with a 10-foot pole because everyone hates it. Some people like it. I'm disappointed that we can't bring $51 million in over 15 years. But the people that were against it, you know, they went through the process. Their voice was heard. And I'm glad that the democratic process works and people that felt that they didn't want this on Grand Island are happy with themselves. And then you split the baby. But that is ridiculous. You don't get elected. We're asking superintendents to make decisions about whether or not kids are going to school during COVID. And the Grand Island supervisor, the most talked about, literally everyone's talking about Amazon and Grand Island for 2 years. Nate McMurray is doing interviews. Called Nate McMurray out of the shower. He does an interview and tells you exactly what he feels. John Whitney, the Republican in Grand Island, undecided.
You know, I remember the last time we were talking about this, and two calls stand out in my mind coming against wanting Amazon there. One was traffic at the airport, and I don't know if you brought that up.
We brought that up. None of the anti-Amazon people brought that up.
Okay, so that and I remember a caller saying that, you know, the way Amazon's going, they go more towards automated. You wouldn't have as many jobs as people would think. So my thinking is wouldn't it be better in Niagara County near the Niagara Falls Airport, which is not busy, what I would guess could handle the amount of air traffic that you would have Amazon would need and have something right there.
But I'm saying that Niagara County benefits by it being in Erie County. Erie County benefits from being, everyone is going to benefit from this thing. But I'm saying that the arguments that I would have made if I was against it and I'm pro Amazon, I'm pro jobs, right? What you're hearing from Mark Poloncarz and what you're hearing from Nate McMurray are they want jobs in Western New York. And Mark Poloncarz isn't stupid. He knows what's coming with a huge build like that and how much other money and how that works for his economy, how that works for his residents. Nate McMurray, who's now not even going to be in that district in New York 27, as a former supervisor of Grand Island, is like, this is good for New York 27. It's not my district, but it's good for New York 27. It's good for New York 26. It's good for everyone. I'm just, of all the things I could believe, I could believe someone saying, hey, I agree with it. I disagree with it. I respect your opinion. What I don't respect is someone that says, I haven't made up my mind yet. Because that's someone that should not be a supervisor of a town. I'm sorry. That's what leaders do. Do I disagree with Mark Poloncarz on issues? Oh, my goodness, do I disagree. But has he ever said he's undecided? Mark, how do you feel about abortion? I'm on the fence. 73 to 78, I had some opinions. I changed in the 80s, went back. No, these people are all decided on everything. You're elected to decide. You don't. Undecided people get to be told to put a shirt on when they walk into a restaurant. Undecided people are the ones we wait until the 11th hour to decide an election. Undecided people are not what we elect to represent us in any facet of government. You have to be decided, and you have to have the intestinal fortitude to say, like Russ Thompson did, like Nate McMurray did, like everyone else, like Tony Caligiuri does. How long would you last if every time we're like, hey, Tony, what do you think about that? Undecided.
I haven't made up my mind.
Whopper versus Big Mac. I don't know. They both have pluses. They both have minuses, to be honest with you.
Whopper, 2 for $5.
The pluses are $51 million over 15 years and $10 million up front. The minuses, well, we want as much traffic. You know what towns say that complain about traffic? You don't have a right to complain about losing Fantasy Island. You can't complain about the tax base. You can't complain about all the things that you don't have when you are trying to bring revenue in and money in. It's going to bring an increase in driving and congestion. That's a first world headache.
Yeah, you need the traffic for the increased money.
Of course.
I mean, that traffic is the money.
It's ridiculous. It's like, hey, how's everything going at your coffee franchise? Well, business has never been better, but had to put a second drive-through in. That kind of sucks. Well, what do you mean? That means you're making, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Good news is we won't have as many pesky customers. Bad news is we're going to have to move into our car. We have no money. And we're going to starve to death. I mean, what is that? And this is a Republican. I'm sorry. That's not a good look. So if you want to change that around, that'd be fantastic. But the undecided thing is a crock. I mean, do you buy that?
Not one second.
Do you buy that, Tony?
No, but why don't you just come out and say, look, our residents are against this. I represent our residents. We're not for it because of that.
And that, my friends, is messaging by Tony Caligiuri, Professor Emeritus. He'll be here for the rest of the week. You can enjoy his lectures on such things as telling the truth as an elected official and splitting the baby. Tony, that is precisely the way you do it. You say, look, people are against it. People are for it. I'd love to see the jobs, but if this many people are upset, then we're going to go with the will of the people. But a lot of people are for it, a lot of people are against it, and I just haven't made my mind up yet is, outrageous. That is one of the most ridiculous things an elected official has ever said. Can we just hear it again in case people missed it?
I hadn't made a decision on this yet. We still have a public hearing open. We're going to schedule it. We actually have it scheduled for tomorrow. It's subsequently been canceled, but... We hadn't made any decisions on this yet.
Haven't made a decision. Supervisor still.
Made a decision.
No, haven't made
one. I hadn't made a decision.
It's absurd. It's absurd. And it's, I don't believe it. I'm not, I'm just saying that's politics for dancing on raindrops. By the way, when Poloncarz said he supported it, he knew that there were people that were against it. Right? So Poloncarz, by saying he supports it, knows full well that people were against it. He's taking that political risk. And it's Mark Poloncarz. I'm supposed to reflexively say I'm against everything Mark Poloncarz does. Nate McMurray, we're supposed to be in our little box and reflexively be against things because it's not a Democrat-Republican issue. It's not a conservative-liberal issue. It's a Western New York issue. And whether you were a Grand Island resident and you didn't want it here, that's one thing. But at least the people that were against it had the intestinal fortitude to say they were against it, right? The people for it were for it. Your supervisor was just like...
I hadn't made a decision.
It's third down. We're in Canada. I'm going to punt. I'm like, no. You got another go at it. We're in America. You can throw on third down. Not me. John Whitney... is playing CFL football in the NFL.
I haven't made a decision.
Third down, he would like to drop back and punt.
That always bothered me, by the way, watching CFL.
No, but it's so ridiculous. Like, of all the things that you could possibly do, now is the time. You're elected. You're representing both sides. Yeah, things are unpopular. We get it. Joe Biden is going to be upsetting to some people. Donald Trump upset some people. But you are in that position to make a statement. If it took you this long, maybe that's why they left. Maybe Amazon's like, hey, we'd like to build a plant here and hire a bunch of people. But your supervisor just can't make up his mind whether he wants us not or he wants us or he doesn't want us. It's just not. It's ad nauseum. But I don't get it. I don't. We'll take your calls at 803-0930. That's the question that I have for you is, do you really believe that he hasn't made up his decision? I mean, why? Just say it. Are you for it? Are you against it? Was this the right thing? Was it the wrong thing? But you can't pro and con it as, the pro being we're going to have less people that are going to spend money and have money. But of course, the con is that... we're Grand Island and we have no amusement park and it's really tough to get anything to do here because we can't bring people that want to spend money and we can increase the tax base with people paying jobs. I mean, why are people leaving Western New York? Why are people leaving New York State? They're finding better opportunities. We have an opportunity. So you know what's going to happen? People in Grand Island are going to go on that bridge. They're just going to now drive to Batavia to work at Amazon. People at Grand Island are going to make an hour commute for a good job that they could have made a five-minute commute and kept the money right there in their village.
But they have a welcome center.
And, honestly, I give a tremendous amount of credit to the Democrats involved in this argument that we're supporting Amazon, knowing the party, knowing the environmental argument. They went against that. They were wrong. I get it. But still, they had the intestinal fortitude to make a decision. Everything else is ridiculous. Stay on hold, 803-0930. We'll get back, talk a little Amazon. And then after that, we are going to have an advice show. We've had letters written to us, emails. Read those live on the air. Names and towns have been changed. You can then help out with some of this advice. This is not a bit. These are legitimate questions. And it's always fun to give advice to strangers.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.